But what if I want to talk about the political climate of Neverwinter?
I mean, if that's fine, I love that. That's cool. Like, in-character drama, in-character politics, fantastic. Out-of-character politics, my God, I'm so sick of them.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to In and Out of Character, a Role Players podcast, where I, your host, Mr. Island, go off and talk to role players of all kinds. Sometimes I bug people in MMOs, and I don't think they actually like it that much. But today, I have on a guest named Arch. Arch? Oh, God, I already fucked it up. I'm so sorry, Arch. Like my last guest, they are also a part of The Lucky Die. We talk about how they got into role-playing, how they found The Lucky Die. We talk about World of Warcraft role-playing. We talk about Final Fantasy a little bit. We also talk about a few other things, but you're going to have to stick around and listen to that. Really quick, before I get on to the part where I play their promo, I would just want to say thank you to everybody who has been tuning in to listen, and to all of the community who has just been giving me just the warmest of welcomes back. I really appreciate you guys, and it is just a... it's just a wonderful feeling. Anyways, before I get sappy, if you want to come on the podcast, feel free to reach out to me on Discord, or you can email me. I have all the links and the email address down in the descriptions, on the show notes, or whatever. I'm also starting up social media, so if you want to find me on social media, at the Core Role Players Guild, or at the CRPG, that would also be very helpful. I do appreciate that. I am actually very, very bad at social media. I'm actually very, very bad at it. And so this month is my journey to get back into social media so I can promote this podcast more. And if you would like to help me, that would be fantastic, and I would really appreciate you for it. That's all I got. So let's go ahead and get into the conversation.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
God, you would love my character then on The Lucky Die.
On The Lucky Die? I've listened to a few podcasts. I've listened to a few episodes. I haven't listened to any in a few months now. I've just been so busy with everything, I haven't really been able to get back to it. But I remember your podcast. Have you done an advertisement before?
Me personally, or you just mean the show as a whole?
You personally.
Not that I could think of. Like, I know a few of my lines are in our advertisement, but, like, I don't think I've ever actually recorded anything personally.
I didn't know that you were a part of Lucky Die, because now that you said that, and I'm, like, listening to your voice, I'm like, hold on, this sounds a little familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you did you start with tabletops?
Yeah, well, okay, so I was one of those kids that liked to play pretend on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, technically where my roleplay origin story is, because my friends and I always had very vivid imaginations, so we'd be running around playing whatever characters from whatever the big TV show was that we were watching at that time, whether it was Naruto or Dragon Ball Z or, God, anything else, Avatar Last Airbender, when that became, just all over the place. And then I got into tabletop.
Yeah, I get that, because, like, when I was a kid, I used to play pretend just a shit ton when I was a kid. I repeated myself twice. Forgive me, I must still be waking up.
You're okay.
I don't know what led me to exactly pursuing my enjoyment of MMO role-playing, but I do know that as a kid, I'm assuming most kids like to play pretend, and that kind of latched on to me for the longest time. I wanted to get into theater, but I never had the chance.
See, it's funny for me. I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that my personality now versus what I was like when I was younger, I would not have worked in the theater environment. I think now I probably could, because I've really opened up and stopped giving a shit what other people really think about me.
Mm-hmm.
But way back when, no, there's no way you could have gotten me into theater.
I wanted to be in theater so bad. I wanted to do music and theater when I was a kid, but I grew up in a very conservative family, and my conservative family was like, you're a man. You have to go play sports. You have to beat people up. And so that's what I did.
My dad tried to pull that with me, and then the asthma came out, and they went, you know, maybe not such a good idea.
Maybe having you run around all day. Man, it sucked. My dad fucking made me run all the damn time. Hated it. Yeah, I had this sort of punishment that was like, you know, we're going to make you pick up bricks and move them across the yard, and you have to stack them. And once they're done being stacked, you have to take them and stack them on the other side. I fucking hated it.
God, now I'm suddenly glad that all I had was my Game Boy taken away.
Oh, man. I got real fucking creative and had my Game Boy taken away one time, right? Or, no, I'm sorry, not my Game Boy. I had a Nintendo, the original Nintendo.
Hell yeah.
And you know the aux cables in the back?
Yep.
So, what they did is, I had an old TV. It was in one of those old, big old, fat TVs, you know what I'm talking about? And yep. They didn't have an aux attachment. They had something that an antenna can hook up to. However, you can get an adapter to hook up to where that antenna is supposed to be that had the aux ports. So you could plug in your consoles. That part was taken away from me. However, I found out that if I took the aux cables and just sort of held them against the part where the antenna was, I could get videos. So I would go to school, be very good, be rewarded with dinosaur stickers, come home with my dinosaur stickers, and use those stickers to attach the cables to the back of my TV.
Oh, shit. All right. I'm glad I'm not the only troublemaker like that.
Yeah, no, man. I would tinker with stuff until I fixed or it was more broken. And my parents were so impressed. They weren't even mad, but they did take away my dinosaur stickers, which kind of hurt because I was like, I earned those dinosaur stickers. They were mine.
That's criminal.
Oh, but I'm kind of going off on a little tangent. So if you don't mind, could you introduce yourself and tell me what you're doing right now, roleplay-wise?
Sure. So, hello. I am Arch Angelian, but you could just call me Arch. God, what am I not doing? Let's see. I obviously am a player on The Lucky Die. Both campaigns. We've got the main campaign and our side campaign, Kino. And then on top of that, there's also a homebrew campaign that I DM on every other Saturday night. And there is a friend that runs a campaign that I kind of like, for lack of a better way to explain it, I guest appear on it whenever I can get off of work in time. Because unfortunately, usually when they're playing, I'm just getting off of work or I'm at work still. But when I can swing it, I get to join in there, and I'm a total menace when I do.
You're the paladin from the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Just kind of shows up when he can.
Yep. I just show up, save the day. No, not even close. I'm an absolute menace to society in that game. I play a fairy bard, to give you an idea.
Oh, that's great. Why a fairy bard, out of curiosity?
I don't know. I kind of just wanted to play something that was a bit outside of my normal play sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of settled on that, and it's just so stupid the way that I play. I can't even, like, articulate how. I just kind of fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, considering the campaign's, the general vibe is a bit more serious, so I'm kind of like the comic relief.
Which I think every party actually needs a bit of comic relief, because, like, sometimes people get a little too, and this is nothing against anybody out there who is listening, sometimes role players can get a wee bit too serious, and there are some role players who can get a little too silly, if that makes sense. So, like, being able to, like, bring it down to, like, a level in the middle somewhere is always nice, because sometimes I have friends who are just way into the story, and I'm just like, Do you guys remember that this is a game where we're supposed to be having fun?
And then there's always that issue you run into where someone has main character syndrome and you have to try to break that habit. And
so is tabletop the only form of role-playing you've done?
No, but like 95% yes.
Have you tried, you played World of Warcraft. Yep. Have you ever tried role-playing in World of Warcraft?
No.
You can.
I know.
You can do it right now.
I believe me when I say I've done a lot of role play in the past outside of like tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
The only like role playing in MMO I've done has been in Final Fantasy 14 because I love going to venues.
I just had someone on this podcast who had a Build-A-Bear venue.
A Build-A-Bear venue. What the hell?
Yeah. It's so cool, right? Like we have all these different venues. Well, I see all these different venues, right? Like you have the nightclub venue, you have the spa venue, you have the cafe venue, mm-hmm. right? Like that's occasionally you'll have something interesting like the museum type venue or whatnot. But like when she was like, yeah, I have a Build-A-Bear venue. And I was like,
that's unique. Definitely unique.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much because like it's one of those, it can be a scene for a slice of life scene. And I love those. Those are my favorite types, if that makes any sense. Like, I know people out there who are like, I want to play the hero or I want to play the villain and stuff like that. And I'm just like, man, I just want to have a nice time with friends.
Understandable. My FC actually has a medium plot. And mm-hmm. we have a friend that is like one of those like super skilled decorators for hire.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically decorated our entire plot from top to bottom to be this beautiful adventurers guild with like mm-hmm. the tavern in the basement and everything. There's like a mini bar up top. There's like a secret bookcase that you can go behind where all of our like our vendors repair and everything are.
Mm-hmm. I like those, yeah.
And we actually had an art party a couple weeks ago, and it was so much fun.
I have been trying very hard to make sure that my friends guild, because currently I went from Final Fantasy 14, now I'm role-playing in Elder Scrolls Online for a little bit, and I'm helping my friend, and I'm doing the social stuff for them. And I've been trying really hard to make sure that they get things that aren't just people sitting around a bar and talking, right? Mm-hmm. So we did a fashion show not too long ago, and that was just so much fun because you got to see people express their characters through different means than they normally would. So I'm sorry, I'm starting to get a little giddy about this. What server is your venue on, out of curiosity?
We are on Primal Leviathan.
Primal Leviathan. Oh man, I haven't heard any role players over there.
We have plenty of venues, normally. Just not quite as many as you might find in other places like Crystal.
Yeah, I was on Mattias for the longest, and I never went to Belmont. I know there are people on Belmont, but I'd never go to Belmont.
No, we don't talk about Belmont.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's a lot like Warm Wrist Accord and Moonguard is Belmont.
Hell yeah, we can go to the Goldshire Inn. Nothing bad ever happens there.
Oh god, I'm about to have a panic attack because you just said that. Anybody who is listening who is not aware of MMO culture, Goldshire Inn is, to quote someone great, a place of villainy and scum. Or it used to be. I don't know if it is now, but like way back when, it was just a nightmare to be there. You went there for one reason, and that was to be a troll. Or I guess it was either to be a troll, to do something really obscene, or to just, in general, shit around with a bunch of other... I don't want to call them all degenerates, but I don't know a better word.
No, degenerate's
right now.
A good word. It's horny jail, basically.
It is. There's a reason this podcast is explicit, and I've seen people do things to the horses outside. It was not a fun experience. Oh, no. A lot of people were blocked.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's not even a joke. Anyways, so how did you go from did you go from basically playing pretend to tabletops being your first foray into role playing, or was there something else?
There's a level of cringe in between that sandwich.
We all have a level of cringe when it comes to this. Sorry, go ahead.
It was
if it's okay with you.
No, listen, this is banter. I love banter. This is I don't even know how to explain it. I went from playing pretend to then my friends and I discovering, and this is back during the dawn of the internet, that you could make your own forums for free. There were these websites where you could just make your own forums. So we would make these forum websites that were dedicated to play-by-post roleplay, where it was, depending on the big thing at the time, that was the subject of the roleplay. So primarily, it was Naruto. And we actually ended up making friends through doing stuff like that. There was no sort of power system or anything. It was just us generally being a bunch of stupid teens just messing around. And then we discovered Dungeons & Dragons because my dad decided to get me the 3.5 starter kit.
Oh, truly, your dad is truly peak. I think that's what the kids say these days. listen, I can't call that cringe at all, because like I started when I was getting interested in role playing and trying to like figure that out with the age of unrestricted access to the internet, when that first became like really prevalent, I used to be able to find stuff on chat boxes and forums, and not all of it was great, but I did find a couple that I really enjoyed. I found like a Pokemon one that I really liked. I also went into some Naruto roleplay. Matter of fact, me and my friends, we had to be right out of our teens when we did it. We did a Naruto campaign, and I decided to play a, what was it? Do you remember the samurai in Naruto? How they use the swords?
Yeah, I can't remember what the hell they're called, but yeah.
Yeah, basically, my character didn't want to be a ninja. My character wanted to be a samurai, because samurais were cool. He was a weeaboo, is what I was trying to get at. I'm so cool. Ninjas are nothing, man. But I can definitely understand that. I wouldn't call that cringe. I think that's just a step in a direction towards getting into this hobby.
I mean, yeah, I kept the passion there even after my friends and I all split off and went to college and everything. Like the rest of my friends kind of fell off the roleplay sphere. They all, you know, went off to these colleges and got their fancy degrees and got into the working world. And I can't say that I didn't, but I also still held on to that core of I like to role play. I like to have fun. And I never gave that up.
Yeah, I often wonder to myself, like, when am I going to stop? You know what I mean? Like, when am I going to stop making characters and stop role playing? I say that, like, that's what I feel. It's like, never. I like doing this. I like enjoying this. I enjoy stepping into these characters. But like sometime in the future, at some point, I'm going to get too tired of being on the computer or whatever the fuck is the people using that day.
The brain chips that get implanted.
Yeah, maybe I'm tired of running my brain chip and plugging into the wall to make it charge or some shit like that. I hope that's not the fucking future, man. That would suck. But at some point, it's got to come to an end. And I don't know, not to get sad or depressing, I'm like, there's just one of those things on my mind, but I enjoy it. I like it. I want to keep doing it.
I don't think I could ever give it up. Not entirely. Even if I'm not actively participating in something, I think I would still hold on to it in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone ever said, like, hey, you want to play a one-shot? I'm running this Dungeons & Dragons 7E game. Hell yeah. Sure. I don't know the first thing about 7E, but sure. God knows how long in the future that's going to be, if they even do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know if Wizards could handle a 7th edition at this current point. I don't even think they could handle anything else at now.
No, because they already fucked up the current.
Yeah, with everything going on.
It's bullshit. I hate it.
The 5.E?
The 5.5.
Oh, 5.5. Whatever. I didn't even know there was a 5.5.
The new rule set that they released, the 2024 player handbook and everything, I fucking hate it. Like, it just... side tangent. I tried reading over the rules, and it's like so many of these things that they've done. It's like, we understand that our players are probably a bunch of fucking idiots and don't understand what a charisma check is. So here, mm-hmm. we redefined it so it's still a charisma check, but with more words and steps involved. Like, why? If you can't be bothered to read weird. The PHB in the first place, changing the wording's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's weird. That's very weird.
Like, I hate it. I hate it with a passion.
A charisma check, that's odd. Like, I didn't even, to be honest with you, I really had no idea they were doing 5.5, because when they try to pull that BS with the OGL, man, like, I kind of checked out mentally from all of D&D, and with what they're doing to Magic the Gathering, not to go off on any side tangents.
No, go ahead.
I checked out that too, and those are the only two things I cared about. And now... Only time I hear news from Wizards about whatever they're doing, it's something stupid, yep. like trying to send a cease and desist letter to a fan for creating a mod for an entirely different game using Baldur's Gate 3.
What?
Yeah, like someone sent a modder, and feel free, anybody listening out there, to correct me if I'm wrong, but without looking anything up, what happened is a modder made a Baldur's Gate 3 mod for Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, and Wizards sent them Hasbro or Wizards. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of nuance there, but one of them sent the modder a cease and desist, and the creator or the leader of the team who did Baldur's Gate, Larian mm-hmm. Studios, sent a kind of came out and said, hey, you know, this is kind of bullshit. And yeah, every single time I hear any sort of news about Wizards, it just makes me angry. So I just checked out of D&D, dude. Like, it just doesn't interest me anymore.
I get that. That seems to be the general consensus. I just have such a love for Dungeons and Dragons as like a game system as a whole. Like, I'm just so used to how it works
mm-hmm.
and the type of like the universes that it operates through and everything, that it's just my comfort zone. Not mm-hmm. to say I haven't stepped out. I've played other tabletop games. Like, I've played Call of Cthulhu. I've played Dragon Age, which I don't recommend. I've played Fate Accelerated. God, what else? There's so many things I've done. But it's just like, it's my comfort zone. It's my happy place.
Yeah. And there is something to be said about, you know, sticking to something that you know because you enjoy it, which is fine. Again, to anybody out there listening and to yourself, by no means should you guys stop playing D&D if you like D&D. I might check out of them as a company, but I'm never going to stop anybody from... I'm never going to be like, man, you're playing D&D, God.
The way I always...
Why don't you check out the new hot shit?
The way I always explain it to people is, like, you can simultaneously love something and expect better of the people making it. Those are not, mm-hmm. like, mutually exclusive.
Absolutely. And there is something to be said about being... How do I put this? Sad about the current state of stuff, but still being able to look at something with, you know, the enjoyment that you used to have with it.
Yeah. Funny enough, that's like, me with World of Warcraft.
Oh, I know it. I used to love World of Warcraft, and I used to love role-playing in World of Warcraft. I used to enjoy playing the game. I, like, way back when Burning Crusade and Wrath of Lich King came out, I was so into it. And yeah, and Cataclysm came out, and I loved Cataclysm, and I got pissed that goblins were went to Horde.
Hold on a second. Hold on. You liked Cataclysm?
I thought Cataclysm was fun. I mean, mind you, I am admittedly very easy to please when it comes to stuff. I just kind of vibe along with the experience, and then I look around and I was like, oh, that was fun, and then I go off and do other stuff. It drives my friends insane because they want to have deep opinions about movies and stuff like that. And when I'm like, it was all right, they get annoyed because they're like, we can't include you in the conversation because your opinion is always, it's okay.
It was all right.
That's how I feel about it. Like, there are times when I do something which I really enjoy it, and I will say I really enjoyed it. But most of the time, I don't have any good or negative opinions about things. I just don't. I liked Cataclysm. I thought Worgens were pretty cool, but I remember being slightly annoyed because goblins were a horde race now. But instead of going with goblins, I was dying on the hill, and I think I'm still going to die on this hill, that Horde should have gotten mana mummies. The Aetherals, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, God, I wish. Oh, my God.
I thought that would be so cool, and that hasn't happened yet, so joke's on me.
There's a lot of things that they should have done, but they haven't.
They're finally giving World of Warcraft housing. Finally.
After all these years and years.
I think it's personally because World of Warcraft is looking at other MMOs and how they handle keeping people around, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have a group of people, right, who are coming to your game to play, there are, generally speaking, three types of people. Especially like in MMOs, you have people who are just coming because their friends pressured them into it. You have people coming because they like the setting and they want to play the game, and they want to catch up on the content and be done with it, right? Like, that's me in Final Fantasy right now. The only time I log into Final Fantasy is just to catch up on the new updates, and then I log off until it's time. And then you have people who play the game for the sake of playing the game because they like the setting, which is, generally speaking, mostly role players and people who like cozy games. Because when you play a cozy game, you're doing repetitive tasks over and over and over again so you can stay in the game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
When you introduce housing into a game, you are effectively making it a cozy game because people will then log in simply to do the housing stuff. I sometimes do that in Elder Scrolls Online to this day, and I love playing Elder Scrolls Online. I like all the content, but sometimes I log in and I just fiddle with my character's house, and I will just keep fiddling with the houses until like 5 hours have passed, and then like, wow, I gotta take a break.
Time flew,
man, when you're having fun, man. I'm sitting here trying to very, very meticulously line all of these lights up properly so that when someone looks down this aisle, they can see that all the lights are lined up and it looks good for the scene. And that's what I do.
Oh, goodness.
And I know I'm not alone.
Oh, no, I've been there.
Yeah, no, I get it. I wish I roleplayed in World of Warcraft still, but I don't know. I've tried. I just can't get back into it for some reason.
I'd like to at some point, but right now, like, I'm waiting. I'm playing on a private server, so for me, it's like, I have to find a guild, basically, that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have a dedicated server for it, because it's a dedicated, or it's a private server, so there's only so many that they have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's...
I thought Blizzard went around shutting down all the
they
private
can't.
Servers.
The private server I'm playing on is hosted in Europe, and Blizzard has no control over that.
Whoa, I didn't know that was a thing. You know, I was wondering about that because one of the servers I used to roleplay on, which is called, it was called For the Horde, they had their server shut down, I believe. And I was wondering, I was like, why did this server get shut down, but not all the other ones? That sucks. Mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing. So now I know. Apparently, so there's some legality to it where, like, they can't really do anything if it's hosted over there. The ping's not always great, but, like, it's honestly not as bad as you'd think these days.
Is it just a private server for people in general, or is it a role-playing server?
It's just people in general.
I get that.
But, I mean, it's a fun one. It's a different take on World of Warcraft, because the one that I'm playing on anyways has 21 classes, and they're all custom.
Is this the freaking... Hold on, I saw something recently.
Project Ascension.
I do plan... Project Ascension, thank you. Yes, that's exactly what I was going to get at. I plan on actually doing some content for World of Warcraft role players pretty soon, and I was kind of in the research stage where I was like trying to catch up on like what's going on in World of Warcraft, what's happening, and someone like mentioned Project Ascension, and I looked into that, and the only thing I saw a lot of was the phrase "another turtle has reached the water." I don't know what that means.
Oh no, that's a whole other thing.
What can you explain it to me? Would that be
the turtle reaching the water is a running gag from Mists of Pandaria. Mm-hmm. Because there was a world quest that you had to do where you basically had to sit there and defend these baby turtles on the beach so that they could get mm-hmm. to the shore, to the water, while they're being assaulted by, like, crabs and birds. And the stupid voiceover would, any time that a turtle reached the water, it would go, "Another turtle reached the water," and it became like just a running meme back during Mists of Pandaria, and I guess it kind of stuck around.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I missed out on Mists of Pandaria for the most part. There is some places in Mists of Pandaria that I love for roleplay, but I missed out pretty much on the whole
hype.
How do I put this? The whole hype. Yes, thank you. To kind of change the subject back to you and Lucky Dice, when did you decide that you're going to take your love for role-playing and kind of go to the next step, which is to be like an entertainer when it comes to role-playing?
I don't know how to really explain that other than I kind of just came across a post on Reddit. And I think I remember Volanda mentioned this on y'all's discussion as well. There is a no longer existing podcast that had been looking for players on Reddit, and I saw it and I was like, oh, you know, I've never tried recording or like doing like a performance for tabletop. Sure, I'll apply. And I ended up getting accepted along with V and our now editor Neil and one other person that kind of fucked off into oblivion. Mm-hmm. And we had fun up until that show collapsed at the seam because the person running it turned out to be a piece of shit, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah, but then myself, V, and Neil were like, we don't want this to end, so we said, fuck it, we'll make our own.
Hell yeah, I like that too. Like, it does suck when something like that happens and your character has to kind of... Like, that whole everything just sort of has to go up in smoke, unfortunately. And, like, now it's just, like, a memory. And you can sit there and miss your characters. But being able to take your friends and be like, you know what? That was so fun. We're going to keep doing it and just keep on going. I always like that.
We're going to make our own podcast with blackjack and hookers.
Hell yeah. See, this is actually something that happens a lot in MMO roleplaying too, when it comes to like guild leaders and stuff like that, because sometimes guild leaders can just suck and people realize, oh man, this is, you know, the setting and the people are fun, but the guild leader is kind of an asshole. And so people will be like, all right, you know what? We're just going to go fuck off and make our own guild.
I mean, it all worked out in the end, though. Like, I feel like I actually learned a lot about how to roleplay in a more organic form doing that failed show, because I kind of learned how to be my character in a way that is more flexible and developmental, instead of having this like fantasy in my head of this is my character, this is how they are, rather than what I do now, where it's Just like myself, this person grows, they adapt, they change. Their environment has just as much effect on them as who they were in their backstory. One of the main things that a lot of the fans that listen to The Lucky Die give a lot of credit to me for is the fact that of the characters on the show, my character is like the representation of character development and character growth because of the amount of change that my character has gone through over these last couple hundred episodes. Like the first while, my character, for lack of a better way to explain it, is kind of a dick because he's former royalty. So it's a very much like a thing of like, this is how I was born and raised. So I'm clearly this important person and I expect to be treated as such. And I want things to go a certain way and this, that, and the other. And it's like the more we played, my character started to grow and develop and go from being this very snooty, stuck-up person to being a very kind and caring individual who often puts the needs and wants of his now friends over his own. And it's all so organic that unless you really sit down and think about it, you don't really even notice it happens.
Did you basically make Kuzco from The Imprisoned Groove? Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, I hadn't thought about it, but I mean, if you took the movie and extended it by a couple more movies and had it happen through the course of all that, then yeah, I guess kind of.
It is a really nice feeling when people look at my character and go, God, I like this about your character. It's just it's so fun. Like someone in my guild was like, I really like Calipers. She's very ethereal. And I was like, That's really sweet, actually. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. So it's always, I get it. It's always nice when people are like, I really like your character for this aspect, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I totally get it. I love when I can read, like, either reviews or people talking in our Discord about, like, this episode or that, and it's like, oh my God, I love when this happened or this happened, and I love how your character did this and that and said this, and it's like, I feel so seen when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. I love it. It makes me feel good inside.
Does it ever make you nervous?
Yeah. Not
a little bit.
Not as much anymore. Early on when my character was more of a dick, yeah. It happens occasionally now too, where like someone will leave a review and they're only like 50 episodes in. And they'll be like, God, that Laffian guy is such an asshole. I hate him. He's my least favorite. And it's like, oh, just give it a couple longer. I promise.
He'll change, he gets better. I promise. We fixed him.
He's a good person now. He loves his friends.
Have you considered, do you have any idea what you're going to do like after? I don't know. Maybe that's a loaded question. Actually, do you know what you're going to do after The Lucky Die, after you're done with the podcasting?
It's hard to say. We have jokingly said like, oh, well, that's when we start The Lucky Die 2, Electric Boogaloo. But like, mm-hmm. Whether or not that actually happens is to be determined. But beyond that, I mean, I'm still running my own home games and everything, but in the podcast environment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I'm currently writing my own audio drama, and everybody's helping me out with that, but obviously that's not really roleplay so much as it's just creative writing.
I mean, The Lucky Dice is going strong, though, right now. Like, I keep hearing about The Lucky Dice through either you guys are really good at promo swaps, or a lot of people like you, because I hear about you guys what I'm talking about when I'm like going through and like doing research about podcasts and stuff like that. I think I hear about The Lucky Dice at least every other day, like when I listen to other role-playing podcasts, because I try very hard before I have a guest on who is a part of a podcast to go listen to said podcasts. And a lot of the times when I'm listening to them, like, I'm pretty sure I've heard you guys on the Nameless Monsters podcast. I'm pretty sure I've heard you guys on a few others. So it's not like you guys aren't going to stop anytime soon, but it's always curious, is like, what's going to happen next? Because I like my current character, and I'm not one of those people who likes to have a lot of alts, and I have a very hard time separating myself between different characters, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I like to sit here and be like, what am I going to do next when this character ends, when this character stops?
I mean, I've never stopped thinking about, like, what sort of character I'd like to play next. If there was a Lucky Die 2, or if we did, like, a whole new thing. I kind of like the idea of imagining these fun characters. The hard part is thinking of a character that you can really engage with in a way that's going to translate well into a performance. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't quite grasp, is that when you're doing a podcast like this, it's not just you're playing a character, it's you're playing a character. If you don't have some semblance of yourself in the character, I don't think your performance is going to come across the same way.
Do you see yourself more as a performer or a storyteller?
I don't think those are really all that different, at least not in the way that we're doing it.
Oh, that's fair.
Because of the way that we play and the way that I roleplay my character, I think it's a case of I'm putting on a performance as this character, but also a part of this character is just genuinely me, so it's not that blurred of a line. And by that extension, while playing the character, I am creating a story. It's just a collaborative story with my friends.
Do you prefer tabletops to MMOs, basically? Or do you just like, because I don't know how often you roleplay in MMOs, but I know that for a fact that you roleplay a lot in tabletops. It's just one of those things, because like, I like to imagine that the way that we receive the information and the story matters to us when it comes to role-playing. At least this is just a little personal theory of mine. Like, I like to get my role-play almost like I'm reading a book. So I prefer text-based role-play. I prefer MMO role-playing because it's all just text-based. I prefer not chat room. No, I'll never do that again. God, no. That's a dark history I'll never repeat.
More like play by post?
Yeah, play by post. Which is essentially all MMO role-playing is just play by post. Someone makes a post and someone makes a response and other people make a response to that and yada yada yada. But I also still really enjoy like being able to sit down and look people in the face to do the role play, but like if I had the choice between MMO and tabletop role play, I would most likely choose MMO, just because that's my preferred way of getting it.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Thing is, too, is like even outside of role playing with other people, if you're playing the right MMO, you get kind of sucked into the story as it is. And it makes your character come to life. Mm-hmm. Like, Final Fantasy XIV is just exceptional storytelling. So much so.
And it hurts. It hurts so much.
Oh my god, Endwalker just gave me tingles and goosebumps. Oh my god, some of those cutscenes. And the music scoring and everything. But like, that's exactly what I mean, is it's like, you are being sucked into this story in an MMO, where it's like, as long as you're making a genuine character and not some goofy gag thing where you're playing a fucking femro with a chicken hat, like it's very engaging. So like a good example anyways is on Final Fantasy 14, my character, my Warrior of Light, is my D&D character from the Lucky Die. Like, I straight up made my character from the Lucky Die, the appearance, everything. The only thing I couldn't really do was translate my abilities, because on Lucky Die, I'm playing an Awakened Mystic, which is psionics, which Final Fantasy doesn't have. So I end up bouncing between playing an Astrologian and a Sage.
I'm a bad healer.
Oh, I'm an exceptional healer.
I'm so bad at it. Listen, I don't know. I want to go off on a little bit of a side tangent that has nothing to do with roleplay right quick, but everything to do with Final Fantasy. I am such a shitty healer, dude. I don't know what it is. And there are people out there. Like, there was, like, this healer strike or whatever going on at one point. I don't fucking know anything about it. And they're, like, complaining that healing is too easy. Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to heal. And I'm just like, I'm just doing such a poor job about it.
It's not for everybody. It really isn't.
I much prefer tanking, and I gotta be honest with you, when it comes to, I don't know what happened, when I was younger, I didn't give a fuck, but, like, as I've gotten older, like, I get so much anxiety when it comes to, like, being a part of a team for, like, a raid or something like that, and I've done all the content as a tank. I've done all of it up to the patch before the one that we have now, and I did a very good job as a tank, but no matter what happens, whenever I go in to do these things with friends, with randoms, whatever, I get so much anxiety that it fucks me up.
I get cocky. I'm very cocky when it comes to healing, because I'm very good at it. I've always been a very good healer, whether it was in World of Warcraft or 14. I've always just been very skilled at it. Like, I remember being a fucking, like, 13-year-old on World of Warcraft back during BC in my guild, and I would be healing alongside these two other dudes that are, like, three times my age, and I'm out healing them, and it's like, guys, what are you doing here? Why am I beating you? I'm a child. I'm a child, and I'm out healing you.
I think my love for MMO role-playing came out of, like, a want to be a part of this world, to be a part of the game, but not do the in-game content, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't have fun with it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
It's different appeals.
Thank you for coming on to the podcast. I really appreciate you, Arch. I like to ask my guests who come on the show if they have any advice in general that they would love to give to the listeners about role-playing.
Sure. I mean, the best I can talk about is character development and everything. I mean, whatever you set out to do with your character, however you wrote them, however you wrote your backstory, that's a great foundation, but it's just that. It's a foundation. You need to be able to build off of that, which includes building off of your environment. Play along, role play with your friends, with the people in your party, continue to grow and evolve, and you will have a much better time role playing. Because that's what it is. It's role playing. You have to get into character. And just like us as a whole, we grow as people. I mean, I even did this during another Q&A we did internally for Lucky Die, where I mentioned when I wrote my character, there was two very different paths that my character could have gone down based on the interactions with the party and the world. There was a very strong chance my character was going to end up turning evil. There was the chance that was going to happen. But because I built off of the party and my character interacting with everybody else, he's a sweet, lovable guy, and he wants to do right by everyone. But that's what roleplay is. That's what character growth is.
Yeah. A lot of times people do forget. I say a lot of times. I shouldn't try to make a wide sweeping stroke with that. Sometimes people tend to think of their characters as this set of rules that never grow and expand. But once you realize that people are just things that are adjusting to what they figure out around them, and they kind of do the same thing with their characters become a lot more believable. I have met so many characters who have stayed the same one note for a long time, right? And this is nothing against their players or anything like that. And I still love role-playing with a lot of people who do this. But after a while, you get used to what their characters would do, and that becomes
boring.
Yes, in a nutshell, boring.
I mentally check out.
It can become, yeah, and it's nothing. Again, it's nothing against the players or something like that. But once you introduce, is that? I wonder if that's the reason why people don't like Paladin characters so much.
I think a lot of that is more so on the DM, mm-hmm. because of the fact that with Paladins and the way the rules are written around them, it's like you have to be this rigid character with a stick shoved so far up your ass. Like, I don't like that. Like, yes, there are oaths and everything like that, but it's more of a broad stroke. Like, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has these things that happen. Like, I don't think you should suddenly be a fallen paladin or be like, oh, there's a rogue in the party. All right, well, this is immediately a terrible setup. Like, no, just organic and natural roleplay will make it fun, as long as your DM is willing to work with you.
Ain't that the truth? Well, thank you for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate you.
It was a pleasure. I love talking about all this nerdy stuff.